Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Okay. I feel privileged to be here tonight, and I know that you're going to have all night prayer. So I'd like to talk about prayer tonight. And I just want to encourage you about prayer. So why don't we pray together to ask God to teach us. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the presence of God, for your presence, for your glory. Lord, I pray that we all will feel like we are just in the kindergarten. We are still a child of God, and we want to learn more from the Holy Spirit. We want to receive the Word of God from the Spirit of God. And Lord, you are the God who has much more to give to us. You're the God of more than enough, who want to bless us abundantly, Lord, in the Spirit. Lord, tonight we pray that you will speak to us. You will, Lord, teach us and give us more faith so that we can understand your word and we can be the prayer warriors all the days of our life, Lord. Father, speak to all of us tonight by your Holy Spirit. May your anointing be upon your servants in this room, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we look in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. I need to read it too. So we'll be in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. The Bible says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." You can see here from this scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ command all of us to seek God, to ask God, to knock on the door. It's interesting that he emphasized three times: ask, seek, and knock. It gives you the picture of a person who never give up on seeking God. You know, if you stay home like a kid, and you're so hungry at around 11 p.m. and your dad and your mom already went to bed, and you're so hungry, and they are in the bedroom already sleeping. So if you're desperate enough, what you do, you will go to the room and kind of say, "Mom, I'm hungry. Where is the cookie?" So you don't hear her answer because she is already sleeping. What you do next, if you really, really want to eat, you're going to go to the door of the bedroom and knock. You're going to knock and say, "Mom, I'm hungry. I need to eat cookie." And the mom say, "Oh, I'm sleeping already. Don't bother with me." Is that right? You see the picture? You're trying to follow the picture in your home. If you're not desperate enough, you're going to give up and go to your bed and say, "Okay, I'm going to sleep hungry." But if you are desperate enough, what you do? You're going to go down to the refrigerator yourself and begin to open and look for that cookie. You're going to look in the jars, in the cabinet. You're going to look everywhere to get that cookie to eat that night. This is a picture when God say, "I say to you, ask and it will be given to you." You ask, and if you don't get the answer, what do? You seek. You kind of, "God, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to run after you. I'm going to keep bugging you." And then if you don't get the answer, what do you do next? You knock. You keep knocking the door. So you come to pray tonight, that is the same attitude you should have. And all the days of your life, you should have this attitude that if you seek something from God, you know that it's God's will. You say, God, I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep seeking. And I tell you, God loves that. God loves people who have this kind of attitude. God say in the Bible, in the book of Hebrew, that God rewards. He is the rewarder of the diligent seeker. Those who seek Him diligently. How many people want to be rewarded by God? I want to be rewarded by God. I want God to bless me. I want God to bless me a lot so I can bless people. So in order to be blessed by God, you need to be diligent seeker. You need to keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking God. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6 verses 5 to 8. Matthew chapter 6. I will read from New King James Version. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret place will reward you openly. And when you pray, you'll notice that in verse 5, the Bible says, when you pray. Verse 6, but you, when you pray. Verse 7, and when you pray. You see the word when. 3 times already. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Then, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask of Him. You can see here that Jesus teach about prayer here, that Jesus say when. Jesus did not say if. What is the difference between when and if? How many people can tell me? If you use the word English word when, what does it mean? And if, what does it mean? If, William. Yes. So if is something, a condition. You can or you may do and you may not do. It's up to you. It's a condition. If you do, yes, this is going to happen. If you don't do, this is not going to happen. So if a man come to you, if a very godly man come to you, Kiko, and say, if I marry you, what does it mean? It means what? Not sure. Is that right? It means that may happen and may not happen. Oops. But if a godly man come to Yukiko and say, when I marry you. So it means what? For sure that's going to happen. He intends to marry you. Is that right? So the word when, Jesus used the word when 3 times. And we need to understand that it means that God expects us to pray. God doesn't give us the option. God doesn't say, oh, you can pray or not pray, it's up to you. He say like, I expect all of you to pray to me, to pray to God all the time. It's expected by God. So prayer is something God expects us to do. It's something that we should do, we intend to do, we plan to do, we want to do it. Amen. So all of us should be people of prayer. We should spend time with God. We should talk to God. We should listen to God. We should not pray like a religiously, like a repeat word. I remember before I became a Christian, I always pray pray in my own really old religion. I will repeat the same word again and again. La 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 la, lo 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 lo, li 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 li, something, and keep saying. I don't even understand the meaning. But now we talk to God, we listen to God. So you can see that Jesus expects us to pray. Everyone say at the same time, God expects me to pray. Okay, look at Luke chapter 2 verse 42. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 2 verse 42. I'm wrong. Acts 2:42. Look at the lifestyle of the early church Christians. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, with S in my Bible. Continue steadfastly. What does it mean steadfastly? Who can explain to me? Non-stop, devotedly, is that right? Seriously, take it like almost like you give up something else, you give up your sleep tonight, you give up your food, you give up your TV time, you take it as priority, you take it as seriously. The early church Christian take the word of God, listen to the doctrine, mean the word of God, take fellowship, the breaking of the bread and prayers very seriously. They devote themselves. They take as priority. If you choose between going to a party to dance and drink and go to pray, which one you choose? Pray. Is that right? You choose prayer before having fun. You choose prayer before just watching TV. You choose prayer before going out with that guy. Okay. So, why I have to look at you, I don't understand. Okay. So you can see here that God really showed us that this is the lifestyle of Christians. And we should have that kind of lifestyle. We should pray all the time. We should talk to God all day. You know, prayer doesn't have to be like going to the prayer closet and find a special place all the time. Yes, it's good to have a special place that you sit down with God. But you can talk to God in the car. You can talk to God in your classroom. You can even listen to your teacher and talk to God at the same time. Kind of communicate with God. Talking to God can happen at any time, at any place. Should be lifestyle of prayer. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everyone say everything.
Everything.
So in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Bible encourages that don't be anxious. I believe that all of us really, really face anxious problem in our life all the time. You know, sometimes you worry about your study, your upcoming exam, and some of you worry if you finish, you graduate, what you gonna do? What kind of job you gonna find in Seattle? You concerned that, oh, in a year I'm gonna graduate. Am I gonna get married? You know, am I gonna have a good job? What gonna happen if I go back to Hong Kong? Am I gonna get a good job? What are I gonna do if I start a church there? Am I gonna make it? Are people gonna come to my group? You know, God, I believe that we all face this every single day about these questions, the anxiety, the worries. Oh, if the baby come, how am I gonna stay up all night? Is my husband gonna wake up to help me? You see what I mean? Oh, what am I gonna do? What is the college fund I'm gonna save for him or her? You know, we all have things to worry about. But the Bible say that, thank God, we have God that we can talk to. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. You present your request to God about your return to Hong Kong. You present to God about your job. What you gonna do? You may face a new project at work. Maybe your boss give you a new project. And then you say, wow, this is a tough project. You say, Father, I may not know everything, but you know everything. I'm going to give this project to you. Help me handle this project in my job. You know, anything, you can present your request to God with thanksgiving. After you present your request to God, don't forget to say thank. Even though you haven't received the answer yet, you just say, thank God, I believe you're going to help me. I have no doubt you're going to help me. And you know, if you can do that every day, you're going to live a long life. You're going to look beautiful all the time. You're going to look handsome all the time. People are going to say, wow, you look younger than age. You know, people always say that I look younger than age. I don't have a lot of gray hair. Actually, I almost have no gray hair. Most of my friends at this age already have lots of gray hair. You know why? I think one of the secrets, because I don't worry that much. I just give all the things to God. I just don't worry too much. Just give to God. Whatever happened, I just give to God. Don't use elbow. Don't use your elbow. Amen. I believe that you're going to look beautiful all the time if you don't worry too much. Present your request to God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to read some scripture here about prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere. Ooh. A while ago, you heard the word everything. So Paul in the book of Philippians said, in everything, you present your request to God. Now, he said, everywhere, men. I believe that this can be applied to women too. Men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, this, I love this scripture because it's interesting. Paul see that in the eyes of Paul, he said that either you're busy fighting with people, getting mad, getting upset, and complaining to God, and you keep complaining, you keep doubting, you keep being mad at people, being mad at the pastor, being mad at the situation, being mad at the government, and you spend all the energy of wrath and doubting and complaining. Paul said, no, don't spend energy that way. You just lift up your hand everywhere and pray to God. Amen. You know, you have two choices. You spend all of your time, your energy, complaining, doubting, getting mad at people. You see some member in the care group and you say, oh, she doesn't behave. He doesn't behave. And you start to complain in your heart. You start to get mad and talk and begin to kind of think, God, I don't think you can change her. You cannot change him. You keep doing that. You waste your time. God said, don't do that. Instead of look at the negative, you just keep praying. God, I believe you're going to change that lady. God, I believe that you're going to help me to have the right heart. You spend more time in prayer instead of spending time in doubting and fighting and striving and getting mad at people. You have only 24 hours a day. Is that right? You choose how you're going to spend your time. I'd rather spend my time in everywhere, in everything, at everywhere, praying, talking to God, and trust God for the change. So tonight, I'm glad you are here. You're going to present everything in your heart. And you're going to pray. You're going to have a prayer life that you pray everywhere. Amen. You should pray for Judy that when Judy go back, she will be mighty and strong. The anointing going to flow out of her. Revival going to hit Hong Kong.
Amen.
You know, that pastor in Nakhon Pathom, God lay hand by me so many times. You know, she is a woman that every time I pray, lay hand, she will come out the first woman. Amazing. This lady ran out to me. And she never, I never even touched her body. She came to me and walked just about maybe half, maybe about 5 feet from me, she already fell down. Every time. This lady came, bam, fell down. Just like that, boom. Every time. And she always came out to be prayed for again and again. And she learned about the fire of God. And she said that day when she lay hand on people, she really feel like this. All the hand that lay hand on her in the past 6 months that I went to Bangkok, she feel like she was a jar. She told me in the phone in Thai when I spoke to her on the phone last Sunday, Saturday night. She said that all this time, she is like a jar that I keep putting fire of God in her. That day when she began to lay hands, she feel like the jar opened up and the fire went out of her. She feel the fire went out of her hand. You know, be careful. You go back to Hong Kong. You start a care group. You start to lead worship. You start to lay hands on people. The fire of God gonna come into that room. And God gonna say, ooh, this beautiful little lady, she is anointed. Amen. Don't let the devil look down on you. Amen. Keep praying, saying God gonna use me. Amen. We're gonna see the same thing with Ikuya. Amen. You, one day in Japan, when you lay hand on people, the fire of God, the jar gonna be open. The fire of God gonna run out of you. Right now is a time of preparation. Amen. So believe God, pray. Amen. Pray for Hong Kong, pray for Japan, pray for your country. Amen. Pray for the. Always pray. Don't spend time wasting your time in doubt, in wrath. Amen. Now look, go back to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. I'm going to teach. This is a while ago, just introduction. This is just introduction. Okay. So you wonder another how many hours. Okay, Luke chapter 11, 1 to 13. I'm going to teach this, and I will finish this, the first session, and continue next time, the second session, about prayer. Okay, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, Jesus set us a good example. Jesus was 100% man, and he was 100% God. In my eyes, Jesus was not only God, but in my eyes, Jesus is a man who is our model, showing us how to live a life of a man anointed by the Holy Spirit and having relationship with the Father. So you need to have this kind of added, this kind of thinking. When you read the Bible, the four gospel, don't look at Jesus just as a God. Or the God. You need to look at him like, and identify yourself with him. You see yourself like, okay, if I was Jesus, this is what he did, and that's what I would do. Because he is a man that show how an anointed man should walk on earth. You understand what I mean? I think it will help you a lot if you look at Jesus that way. You see? Jesus, even though he was a man, he was praying in a certain place. So you can see here that if Jesus prayer, should we pray? We should pray. Jesus set us a good example. When he sees, but one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciple. Verse 2. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Then verse 9, Jesus concluded, "So I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened." Is it interesting? I noticed that when Jesus really want to emphasize something, he will say that two times. You notice that he repeat verse 9 into verse 10 again. He almost like, "Hello!" In American culture, I noticed that the preacher in the South like to say this way. I don't have this habit, but the Southern preacher always say like this. For example, "God loved you. I say God loved you." You notice that they say like, "I say again, God loved you." They repeat like that. Like, you know, "God is great. I say God is great." You know, they repeat one more time to emphasize that this is what you need to get. You need to get it. So Jesus said, "Get it. Ask, seek, and knock. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Okay, before I go back to verse 1, I want to emphasize verse 13 quickly here. It's interesting, huh? Jesus talked from verse 1, blah, 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 down, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, down, to the end about prayer in verse 13, and then the end about prayer. And at the end, he did not say, "Okay, I teach you about prayer. This is you should pray. You should pray for money. You should pray for a spouse. You should pray for a job. You should pray for a position in the church." He end up this way. It's interesting. You know, one day when I read this scripture, the Holy Spirit showed me. The Bible, that Jesus and his teaching about prayer this way. If you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he will give you. He did not emphasize money, position, anything else. He said, "You ask for the Holy Spirit." You know why? How many people know why Jesus at the end said that all the prayer you should ask, one thing that you should ask, the top priority of your prayer list should be pray to receive the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. To have more measure of the Holy Spirit. To have more anointing. To have more power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Why? How many people know? What? What is the reason Jesus emphasized the Holy Spirit more than anything else? Because this is the answer. Everything that you need in your life is in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is God. He owns everything. He has all the power. He has all the wisdom. He knows everything. He knows the future. All the money is in his hand. All the treasure is in his hand. If you get him, you get everything. Is that right? It's almost like if you want a lot of money, you need to be a daughter of a rich man. That is the Holy Spirit. He is the rich person. He has all the riches that you need in your life. You want wisdom? Go to the Holy Spirit. If you want money, you go to the Holy Spirit. He will tell you how to do the business. He will give you the direction. If you want to marry the right man, you go to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to show who is that man you should marry to. You will not make mistake. Believe me. If you ask God, He will show directly what you need to do. So, that's why in my own heart, as a Christian, I want to tell you this. One of the things in my life that I ask the most is to ask for the infilling and the more measure of the Holy Spirit. That I ask, the most frequent prayer in my life is to ask for the Holy Spirit. More than anything else. Because if I have Him, or He has me, actually I should say He has me. I don't have Him, He has me. If He has me, I can have anything that I need in my life. Amen. Now, let's go back to verse 2 again. You see again verse 2, what Jesus said. If you pray or when you pray. When you pray. When you pray. So, is it something expected? Is something that God wants us to do? God expects us to pray. Say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In your prayer, one thing that you need to understand that you pray to the Father. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Okay, God has three parts. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is sitting in the throne. And the Father is the one who say yay or nay. Yes or no. If the Father say, no, no boyfriend yet. You can run, look for boyfriend, you will never find one. He is the one who say yes and no. Jesus is like a channel that you can approach the Father. So, when you're gonna ask something from God, you don't ask from Jesus. You ask the Father. In the name of Jesus, mean through the channel, because we are by nature, we are sinner. We cannot ask God directly. We need to have you notice that, how many people get into the legal action before? You know, when you get into car accident and you hire a lawyer to help you in a car accident, you notice one thing, that the insurance company cannot speak to you anymore. If they want to speak to you, they want to speak through the lawyer. The same thing. If you talk to God, the Father, you need to talk to your advocate. Jesus is our advocate, our lawyer. You speak through Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, this is what I need. And who execute to make it happen? Who make things happen for you on earth now? Holy Spirit. That's how you relate to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let me ask the question one more time. Who do you pray to? In whose name? Who make things happen on earth? Holy Spirit. Amen. So, number one, you need to pray to the Father. You need to talk to the Father. Not only that. This is a long teaching, huh? Sounds like I go in very detail here. So I may not finish the teaching tonight because of the time limit, but I will continue the next time. You know, not only that, you need to understand that you need to have relationship with God as His son and daughter. You are not coming to God just like He is somebody somewhere up there and you are a man that can click your fingers and say, hey God, I need money. You know, if you come to God that way, like He is somebody, like an idol. You know, when I was young, I have a lot of idols in my room. And I just come to the idol and say, I need money. Give me a job. But I have no relationship with those idols, even one bit. Our prayer is based on our relationship with God. We are His sons and daughters, and He is our dad. Is God your dad? Do you love Him? You love this dad? Do you care for his feeling? Do you want to please him? Do you fear him? Do you obey him? Do you really, really see him as your dad? Or he is just a nice guy with a long beard and mustache sit on the throne in heaven that you can go and ask for any toys you want? Or you really want to have relationship with God? So Jesus tried to say, our Father. He did not say, the Father of Abraham, the Father of Pastor Lau. No, no, no. He said like this, when you pray, say, our Father. He is your personal God. So tonight when you pray together, you need to make a make a decision. He is your personal Father. You are His kids. And you can become His kids through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Every time I talk to God, I feel like I'm talking to my papa. What you call dad in Japanese? Oto-sang. Oto-sang. In heaven. What is heaven? What is in heaven in Japanese? Huh? Tenko.
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 Oto-sang. In Tenko. Tenko.
Tenkoku.
Tenkoku. Oto-sang. In Tenkoku. You see? You need to call him daddy. Daddy. Papa. Oto-sang. What is in Indonesian?
Ayah.
Ayah. Oh, ayah. Interesting. Ayah. So be careful because Japanese like to say ayah all the time, is right?
Oh, yeah.
Ayah. How about in Hawaiian? No, no, father, father.
Oh, father.
Yeah. What do you call father?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. You don't remember. You can find out. How about Korean? Father, father, papa.
There's two. One, like father for respect. Abba-ji.
Oh, look like Abba, father. Abba-ji. And how about the like a daddy type?
Appa.
So the same thing. Appa. Yeah. So you see, you need to have that intimacy with God. You need to really feel close to God. Amen. It's about intimacy. You say, our Appa, Papa, Ayah. Okay. In heaven, hallowed be your name. What does it mean? It means that you need to really praise God. You need to come to God in awe, in the fear of God, in like you honor Him. You see Him like a just magnificent, glorious God. Your heart toward Him, He's such a glorious, He's such a perfect, without blemish, He's just beautiful God. Your heart come to God with that attitude. If I want to really, really speak to you tonight that if you, any one of you tonight, have any bitterness against God or angry against God for some reason, maybe you're angry toward God because you lost your dad when you're young, or maybe you're angry to God because somebody broke your heart, a man come and say, I'm gonna marry you, and then he changed his mind. You say, God, your fault, it's your fault that man walk away from me. You know, something like that, whatever, maybe you lose your baby, you know, you have miscarriage, and you kind of mad at God. I want to say to you, please, just resolve that issue as soon as possible. If you want God to answer your prayer, you need to come to God like, God, you're perfect. Everything that happened to my life, you mean good for me. I love you unconditionally. I respect you unconditionally. Hallowed be your name. I honor your name. I'm not gonna criticize you. I'm not gonna be mad at you. I love you. I respect you. Amen?
Amen.
I think you need to settle this issue all the time in your life. Sometimes I have to admit that I slip in and get mad at God. I did it too. I slip in sometimes. I kind of slip, backslid. and big backslide and say, God, you know, I'm very upset. You know, many times I really was really burdened inside me and feel that, God, this is not fair for me. Why this happened to me? And I kind of complain, a little bit upset with God. But then I have to repent very fast. Because that really break relationship with me and God. Amen. So, our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Wow, I go very slow today. Almost like expository preaching tonight. One verse at a time, one sentence at a time. Your kingdom come. What does it mean? How many people want God to answer your prayer? You know, tonight after I taught about evangelism, one young man came to me and said, Pastor Lau, could you lay hand on me? I said, what? About what? He said, you know, I have kind of discovered that in the past months, this is the kind of message to me from him. I really get distracted. I don't live my life for the kingdom. I kind of worry and look at things around me, all the distractions. And he said, lay hand on me that from now on, my eyes going to be on the kingdom. My eyes going to be on Jesus. And everything else is just rubbish. Just not important. I'm going to fix my eye on the kingdom. The kingdom of God going to come first. I'm going to be a kingdom-oriented person. I'm going to be kingdom-oriented man. You know, if you want God to answer your prayer, this is very important attitude you need to have. Live your life for the kingdom. Live your life for His purpose, His sake, His name, His heart, His will, His plan. And if you have to settle your mind today in this room right now, as young as you can. In fact, today on the way here, I was talking to God. God, I really, really have a holy jealousy against Brandy and Simi and Momoyo and all these young people in the church. Because I turned to God kind of old. You know, I really turned to God at 27 years old and really become on fire later on. I think I have made so many mistakes. And can you imagine? I was kind of talking to God. God, can you imagine? If I gave my life to God and really get on fire and get into the Word and train and have such anointing like today, when I only turned 28 years old, oh, how much I can do more for God. You know, when I was 13, I kind of count up. You understand what I mean? Count up like, oh, I'm going to reach 25. I'm going to reach 30. I'm going to graduate. Now I turned 52. I began to count down. Because I already passed the half, 50 already. I began to feel like, oh God, I'm running. I'm really have... My time is running, what do you call? Running out. Yes, that's the right word. My time is running out. I really do need to hurry up. I'm sorry, God. I should have been like this when I was 25 years old. I should be on fire like this when I was young. So I'm really, I want to encourage you. Live your life for the kingdom now. Don't waste your time like me. Amen. Hallelujah. If you live your life for the kingdom, whatever you ask, God gonna answer you. God gonna give you special favor. I think the problem is that most people don't live their life fully for the kingdom. And they kind of use God as an instrument to bless their need and their own purpose. But if you live your life for the kingdom of God, every prayer that you have will be according to the needs of the kingdom. And then God will meet your need anyway. You remember the Bible says in Luke, in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. You want God to add all the needs to your life? I think you need to live your life for the kingdom. I want to actually end here because of the time. I like to finish at midnight here. And I will find some way somehow. The reason I record this into CD because I want to make, as I mentioned today, that I want to make a series of all these basic lessons into a package for new believers to listen. And even some old believers to listen to be able to teach others again. That's why I go in detail tonight. I don't want to skip anything because this series of CD is going to be very systematic and detailed that you people who listen in the next generation will learn a lot. That's my, God give me this project and that is my goal from now on. We're going to make all this CD. And in the future, I'm going to need good translator into Chinese and Japanese and do this again and translate into other languages so that those nations will have the CD to listen to. Amen. So tonight, I believe that I don't overwhelm you with a lot of things. And I pray that everyone who listens to this CD shall be blessed and shall understand more about prayer. And this is just a basic lesson. This is an ABC about prayer. Not that deep at all. So, what you learn tonight, what God speak to you, Henry. Huh? What you need to change after you listen to this lesson?
Try to pray anytime, anywhere.
Try to pray anytime, anywhere. Amen. Thank you so much. That's good. How about Nui? Yes, go after the Holy Spirit. Seeking Holy Spirit. More than anything else. Amen. Seeking the anointing. Hallelujah. How about Jane?
The conviction I have is that if you know, I consider myself as his daughter, then I should live for his kingdom.
Amen. Live for his kingdom if you are his daughter. You know what one word that Jesus said, very interesting. When the father, Mary and Joseph were looking for him, that he, when he was 8 years old, he was brought to the temple for the ceremony to give his life to God. You know what he say in the book of Luke? He say, I mean, the father and the mother say, where are you? Why are you here? And then Jesus said, I'm here to do the business of my father. 8 years old, he say, I am here to do the business of my father. It's amazing, huh? If you can have that lifestyle, I am here on earth to do the business of my father. I am going back to Hong Kong to do the business of my father. And I'm going to continue to hook up to the anointing in Seattle. I'm going to continue to carry the anointing and the revival. And revival come by catching, not by studying. You catch the anointing. You stay in association. If you want to stay on a revival, you need to stay in that association and catching that anointing. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray that God will really help us to become more and more understanding about prayer. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. We want to be effective prayer warriors. Father, be with us tonight while we are praying all night, Lord, that the prayer will be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Every prayer will get answered, will go into the golden bowl in heaven, and you will pick up one by one and answer at your timing. Father, miracles shall happen. Revival will come down to this city and to every city that we go and plant church. We pray, Father, that Hong Kong will see revival. Tokyo and Japan will see revival. We pray, Lord, that one day we're going to check also see revival in, Lord, in Korea. We're going to see revival, Lord, in Malaysia. Lord, in Indonesia. Lord, not that we are great people, but because we love you and we want to surrender to you. We want to see revival in Big Island. We want to see big revival in all the islands in Hawaii, Lord. Father, Lord, use all of us. Bless all of us, Lord. That all the young people in this room will live their life for you, for the kingdom of God. Father, help us to stay focused and we will not be distracted. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, bless everyone, and including those who listen to this CD. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.